This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Good morning to you. It is Thursday, September 22nd. It is the first few hours of autumn. Later on this evening, it's the first few hours of autumn. So it officially begins at 9.04 p.m. Eastern Time, 6.04 p.m. Pacific Time, and you'll have to do the time zones in between. I feel like I could spend half of my show just giving out time zones if I choose to. Sometimes I feel badly because Mountain Time and Hawaii Time and Alaska Time and Central Time are left out. So when I was in Green Bay, I made sure to do a bunch of Central Time just so I can include those in the middle of the country. So yes, it's the first day of autumn, though it doesn't happen until later on. It's also the first day of week 3 of the NFL season. And if you're just waking up on this Thursday, it's also the first day after major news breaks from the NBA. And actually, I'm not referring to Robert Sarver being willing now. I don't think he's happy about it, but acknowledging that he will start the sale process of both the Phoenix Suns and the Phoenix Mercury of the WNBA. We'll get to his statement coming up. But if you are just waking up on this Thursday morning, you may not have heard the breaking news from the NBA just a couple hours before we hit the airwaves. The Boston Celtics are considering a lengthy suspension for their head coach, Ime Udoka. Initially, what we saw break on social and then websites devoted to sports stories, an unspecified violation of team rules. Maybe the Celtics thought that they could keep this under wraps and weren't going to indicate exactly what Udoka had done to be worthy of significant discipline. And every story that I've seen, every report I've seen is indicating a suspension is coming. Adrian Wojnarowski was the last update that we saw. Gosh, what was this? During our first hour, right? And he's the longtime NBA insider who's now with ESPN. He indicated that sources are telling him the Celtics are even looking at a suspension up to a full year for Udoka. So before I even tell you what the reports are about this team rule violation, just know this, regardless of the reason, the Celtics are dead serious about this. Now, according to Woj, they're not considering firing him altogether, though that could change. But at least at this point, according to Woj, this is not going, it's not going to go as drastic as they remove him from the organization after 1 year as the head coach, a year that culminated with the NBA Finals. But regardless of the reason, no, if they're willing to disrupt the chemistry and change the leadership and tweak the foundation that's already been put in place, after 1 year with Udoka, and I know it started out at a 500 clip, but over the second half of the regular season, the Celtics were the best offensive and defensive team in the NBA. And it was probably a bit of a surprise that they got into the finals. That's in his first year. He was handpicked by Brad Stevens. So if Stevens and Celtics ownership are willing to sacrifice maybe up to a year of his leadership and continuing to build that winning culture and establish his system and leave his mark on this team, if they're willing to disrupt that and interrupt that process, this is serious. So then when I tell you what the reports are about what Udoka's team violation or rules violation may have been, you might be surprised, thinking, wait, what? Why would it be worthy of such a lengthy suspension and a severe discipline like this? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, the initial report broke that the Celtics were considering a lengthy suspension, significant discipline of their head coach for an unspecified violation of team rules. Not long after that, and this was literally minutes before we went on the air, Shams Charania with The Athletic and Stadium tweeted this: Celtics coach Ime Udoka had an improper, intimate, and consensual relationship with a female member of the team staff. It's been deemed a violation of franchise's code of conduct. I got to be honest. When I first saw that tweet from Shams, my reaction was, wait a minute, it was consensual. Why is that a violation of team rules? But then, and I am giving you all the credits for these things because I do not know if these reports are accurate. I'm passing along what I have seen. I'm passing along what I've read and what's been reported out there. But according to Bally Sports, Ime Udoka and the woman whose name I have not seen, I do not know what position she reportedly holds inside the organization, only that she's a team staff member. But according to Bally Sports and Brandon Robinson, Udoka and his partner, this woman, are believed to have been separated prior to the current issue. And I guess you could interpret that any way that you would like, but to me, it sounds like they were already warned. They were told to cease and desist. They were told to knock it off. They were told to stop engaging in this relationship and didn't do it. So that would make more sense to me. And I'm not saying that an affair can't be a violation of code of conduct or that it wouldn't look crappy or reflect negatively on the Celtics, considering that he's been in a long-term relationship with a woman whom he has a son and they moved to Boston. He's got a family. But generally, teams are not in the business of regulating morality, let's be honest. Teams don't generally suspend coaches or, as I say, disrupt their own growth process and establishing this new culture and trying to win championships over an affair. It may very well be a violation of company policy, but I can only tell you that my experience, but you could probably think about your own company's rules and policies. At my company, if you have a relationship, an intimate relationship with a coworker, you have to disclose it to the bosses, to your superiors. And that's because they don't want any type of situation that could come back to bite them in the rear. Legally, obviously, relationships sometimes go horribly wrong, and so it can affect the workplace. But also, if one of the members of the relationship is in a position of power over the other one and has authority over the other one, well, a lot of times companies are wary of that, and so they'll separate the two. So yeah, there's a disclosure that's required. I actually remember reading in my own company code of conduct. This goes back to when we first started, that if you didn't disclose the relationship and were found out, that was grounds for being terminated. So it may not be the relationship itself, though obviously that doesn't reflect well on the coach or on his family or on the team, but it may be more about the fact that he was told to knock it off, to stop the relationship, and didn't. But these are all reports that at this point are coming out on Twitter and on the internet, and the Celtics themselves have not yet said a word. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, Ime Udoka is facing a significant penalty and discipline and potentially a suspension of up to a year, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, for violating team rules and team guidelines. And today, actually, according to Woj, the announcement could be made about the suspension. So that news was breaking just before we went on the air. We actually looked to find out if there were any other updates. Haven't seen anything new this morning or in the last couple of hours. But no doubt this will be the story in the next couple hours on morning shows, not just in Boston and around New England. But of course, when you consider the timing, you may not realize this, but training camps start next week. That's how big of a deal this is for the Celtics. Again, which makes it seem more and more like we're not talking about just a relationship. We're talking about a direct violation of rules, potentially something that has been building for a while, or repeat offender, right? So here we are, days away from the start of training camp. In fact, I think Monday is the day where teams meet the media for the first time. Also, according to Bally Sports and Brandon Robinson, Celtics players have been aware of this issue with their coach for a couple of days. They were briefed earlier in the week. Do you imagine being Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, any of the members of the Celtics? They're coming off an NBA Finals appearance. Probably excited about getting back to work. Clearly bought into Ime Udoka, what he told them, how he coached them, how he led them. They raved about him. And now days before they're about to begin training camp and preseason to try to finish what they started last year, this bombshell. Now, if they promote coaches on his staff to take over in the interim for however long he is suspended, you would think there'd be some consistency, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Udoka is the one that Brad Stevens picked. He's the one who earned the trust of the players. He's the one that led them back from a 25-25 record. He's the one that got them to buy in. And even though the distraction would likely die down a little bit, I think the shock and awe of the whole thing will be what people are paying attention to initially with the Celtics. By the time they tip off the season, and that comes later in October, by the time they tip off the season, maybe this isn't as much of a firestorm as it will be on Thursday and through the next few days, but still, they're going to have to answer questions about it. Just not the way you want to start a year in which you are the defending Eastern Conference champions and you feel like you have goals that are within your grasp. We know that these players loved the way that Udoka coached them up, that he believed in them, what he got out of them. You don't have to go very far back. The postseason, which was in May and June, right? To hear Celtics like Jaylen Brown praising the head coach. And this particular cut comes from right after their victory, a hard-fought victory over the Miami Heat.
Fantastic. For a first-year coach, you know, it's almost, I feel like it's unheard of. You know, his level of poise, his level of confidence never changed. Even when we were down, you know, 2-1, or when we were down 3-2. Like, he, you could tell in the look in his eyes that we were going to win this series. We just needed to handle our business. And, you know, sometimes you can get in those moments and go away from everything, or start to make over adjustments. And he didn't.
So, again, imagine being Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum or any of the Celtics who probably feel like they've been betrayed, like their coach cares more about his own personal life and his relationship than he does about them or about his family. Again, this is not a moral statement. I tried to keep my morality out of the equation when it comes to covering pro sports, because if I didn't, I wouldn't be able to do my job. But as it pertains to the team, as much as it affects the team, that part stinks. This is jarring. It's so close to the start of the season that, again, it has to be something the Celtics are willing to sacrifice for. They're literally putting the season on the line. If they suspend, maybe it's better if they suspend him for the entire year, because then you're not anticipating him coming back. But still, this is a major disruption. It's going to be major challenge and major adversity that these team, or these players and this team, has to face right off the bat. Again, the Celtics must believe that this is worth dying on the hill for, so to speak. That in this case, the situation with Udoka, the rules he violated, potentially the fact that he did not take the warning to heart, all of that is more important to the Celtics front office, the Celtics brass right now, than what happens on the court. So we'll expect to hear more coming up on Thursday, though at this point, a lot of it is reports. We've heard nothing from the Celtics specifically, but Adrian Wojnarowski and Shams Charania and other longtime NBA insiders are all on the same page with this. A significant punishment, significant discipline, potentially a suspension up to a year for violating team rules. Boston Celtics head coach Ime Udoka unlikely to be part of his team's tip-off to the upcoming season. That was the breaking news right before we went on the air. And here I thought the Robert Sarver would be the biggest NBA news to come out of the week. No, though that is significant as well. Also last night, Aaron Judge, Albert Pujols, in pursuit of history. I do love this. Selfish of me that I want it to happen on a night when we are hosting shows. So we'll give you the latest coming up, plus our NFC half of QB news. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you on a...
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Alanis Morissette.
When it first started, I would have my nightly panic attacks, but then I started getting really curious about all the sensations. Like, I just really started looking at, okay, so chest is, I got really kind of granular in observing the details of what was really going on with the breath. It's just survival strategy. It's cortisol cooking nonstop. You know, chronic stress is trauma.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.
Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in The Room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. Find top-tier tech talent fast, just like the kind of people who developed this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Thursday now. It's a Thursday here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right. It is high. It is far. Good as God. It's another grand slam. I want the people in the record books to tell me what team hit grand slams in consecutive innings. Oswaldo Cabrera, the Wizard of Oz, he grand slams to right center, and the Yankees take a 4-0 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There's a lot happening this week in the world of sports, and I wasn't even expecting the NBA component. Now we got football, and we've got two very loud pursuits of history. Well, that grand slam was not Aaron Judge, but it was Oswaldo Cabrera in the first inning against the Pirates. So get this, the Yankees, whose bats are very much awake now, they're live bats once again, get a grand slam walk-off in the ninth inning against the Pirates, courtesy of Giancarlo Stanton, on Tuesday night. They turn around, not even 24 hours later, and begin their next game with a grand slam. So, not the same game, but consecutive innings of play. Grand slams. This time, Oswaldo Cabrera. He had five RBI. Gleyber Torres, five RBI. Aaron Judge had multiple at-bats that featured specific baseballs for the occasion, as he sits on 60 home runs, pursuing 61 and beyond. And something interesting that I noted, and as I was watching the game and listening to the game, it was very apparent. In order to take advantage of maybe the only good pitch he'll see in his at-bats, he's first pitch swinging now. Have you noticed? If you don't get your phone out quick enough, you might miss the whole thing, which is so annoying. By the way, producer Jay hates that people instantly pull out their cell phones as opposed to just watching the moment transpire organically. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. John Sterling is the play-by-play voice of the Yankees. So Jay was watching and listening like I was for every Aaron Judge at bat. And you tell me what that Susan Waldman said along with John Sterling as they're calling this game on the radio last night.
Yeah, so when Aaron Judge, I believe it was his third or fourth at bat, he walks into the box and, you know, John Sterling announces him and Susan goes, "Get off your phones. Why is everyone on their cell phones? Watch the moment. Like, live it. Enjoy it. Like, get off. I'm watching it through the screen." He starts freaking out, and I loved it. I was all about it. It was amazing. Yes.
I just feel like, I mean, I'm torn because, of course, you would love to have that moment preserved on your phone until your phone suffers a painful and abrupt death and it's gone anyway. I mean, it's nice to be able to have it to share, I guess, if you want to prove to people you were there or you want to have your 15 seconds of fame. Because I don't know, there's only going to be 80,000 videos of it that hit the internet.
I'm saying, if you right. want to watch it, just go to YouTube and find one of the 4,000 videos from MLB.
Right, but come on, I can understand how some people would want to have the moment on their phone. When I was at Yankee Stadium 2 weeks ago, I did not take video. I did not ever press video. But what I did do was take photos of him in the batter's box because I was behind the Rays, at the time it was the Rays dugout, but the visitor's dugout, and his 99 was staring me in the face, so that it was a cool visual to have him in there batter's box with the 99. But once he started taking pitches, I put my phone down.
Yeah, that's cool. That's fine with me because that visual that you had of him from your seat is you're only going to get that from that seat. You're not taking all your attention away from the game. You're just taking a quick picture because, hey, that's a really cool snapshot that I'm want to remember that. Mm. But to sit there and stand there the entire at bat, look, watching it through your screen when you're literally at the game, it's just, I'll never understand. It's like going to a concert and filming the concert. Like, watch it with your eyes.
Oh, or when we went to Mets Old Timers game and all of the old timers were getting introduced and the guy in front of us taped the entire ceremony.
The whole thing.
As opposed to watching it, he taped the whole thing.
2+ hours. Like, what are you going to do? Are you really going to go home and watch that video? Are you really? Once? Ever? It boggles my mind.
But Jay and I are clearly the exception to the rule because everybody else was seemingly filming it. He ends up with a pair of doubles. So he was very active on the base paths and then one more at bat in the eighth inning.
Well, here's the 3-0. And the pitch is low. The Judge walks. And here's the ninth batter to bat in the inning, Anthony Rizzo. And Tim LoCastro is going to run for Judge.
The fans are clearly not thrilled that they spent all this money to see only a walk and two doubles. You know what's kind of crazy is I saw this headline, and I hope that people understand the irony of this. I saw this headline the night after Judge hit 60 that he's stuck on 60 home runs. The man had two doubles and a walk. He was on base three times, and he's stuck on 60 home runs.
That's what I mean for taking them for granted sometimes. Yeah. Like, I had to come in, I'm like, oh, yeah, two doubles and a walk. Not too shabby. just another great night for him, you know, sparking us at the top, but some player.
Seriously. And right now he leads in all of the Triple Crown categories. And so there is a very real chance that he could win that. I call it an award, which actually called it an award. It's more of a designation than it is an award. But the fact that he's chasing history, I get it, is the storyline here. At the same time, Aaron Judge has been hitting for average as well as power all season long, and his on-base percentage is not what we've seen from him in the past. I mean, this is a guy who has now become a dangerous hitter regardless of whether or not he connects on a pitch and blasts it 450 feet. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Certainly an incredible atmosphere. This is kind of funny, though. Actually, after he walked in the eighth inning, the TV cameras panned out, and the fans were doing a mass exodus to the exits, I guess assuming that he wasn't coming up again.
Oh, incredible. You know, from the very first pitch, you know, top of the first or seven in the mound, they were ready to go. So it was a fun environment, definitely on a Wednesday night, that's for sure.
So Aaron Judge calls it incredible and a fun environment. He managed to stay poised, even though the Maris family is there and his family was in the stadium last night. Also, Luis Severino walks back into that atmosphere for his first start in 2 months. So he hasn't pitched going back to mid-July. He was on the injured list, but five innings last night and a run to the Pirates on two hits and a walk. He did strike out six. And yeah, no matter whether you've been around every day or you're coming back after 2 months, you can't help but notice the electricity and the buzz inside the stadium.
It's going to be like that for a little while until our guy hits, I don't know, 67 homers. I don't know how many he's going to hit. But, you know, the good thing that I'm seeing, like, he's not going out there to hit homers. You know, he's taking great at-bats, he's taking walks, and he's helping us win every time.
You try to zone everything out, so I think it might kind of help a little bit. But, you know, I got a job to do when I step up to the plate. You know, I'm still competing. We're still trying to win games. So, you know, my focus hasn't changed. So I try to tune everything out, the silence and the noise.
I am really impressed with how poised he is when he, again, steps into the batter's box. They have to pause for different baseballs. He knows everyone in the stadium is standing. His family's there. The Maris family is there. The cameras and the flash bulbs and the videos that are being taken. And yet, I don't want to say he's oblivious because clearly he's not. But you can't help but be impressed and notice when you really pay attention. The man is cool as a cucumber. Or as the great Stuart Scott used to say, cool as the other side of the pillow. So a pair of doubles and a walk, but he's stuck on 60 home runs. Man, it's a tough crowd. As I was saying, though, I think one of the things that stands out to me now is that he recognizes he may not get many pitches to hit throughout an at-bat. Three times in his five at-bats last night, he hit the first pitch. It was first pitch swinging, but three times he hit the first pitch he saw. Man's got to get smart to get to 61 home runs and set a brand new American League record. What about Albert Pujols? He actually broke up a no-hitter in the seventh by Blake Snell, but it was a single, not a home run. So no more history made last night between those two incredible dudes. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. If you missed my conversation with former SportsCenter anchor and NFL Sunday Countdown reporter Jade McCarthy, she was laid off by our previous employer in a round of layoffs that featured dozens of other people and had to figure out what to do next and what career direction she wanted to take. And boy, has she found a couple of incredible projects that fit her to a T. Fun to have her on the show for the first time. Hope that you'll check out that conversation with Jade McCarthy on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com.
You are listening.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Alanis Morissette.
When it first started, I would have my nightly panic attacks, but then I started getting really curious about all the sensations. Like, I just really started looking at, okay, so chest is, I got really kind of granular in observing the details of what was really going on with the breath. It's just survival strategy. It's cortisol cooking nonstop. You know, chronic stress is trauma.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, oh, I don't know, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
What would you do with an extra 20 hours a week? How about 40? Get part-time or full-time help with a virtual assistant from The Room. Trusted by entrepreneurs, executives, even busy families, The Room's virtual assistants are trained, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and matched to fit your needs. Work smarter, delegate more, and get your time back. You have a lot more podcasts to listen to. Visit trytheroom.com. That's trytheroom.com.
How's your mental health? I'm listening with Alanis Morissette.
When it first started, I would have my nightly panic attacks, but then I started getting really curious about all the sensations. Like, I just really started looking at, okay, so chest is, I got really kind of granular in observing the details of what was really going on with the breath. It's just survival strategy. It's cortisol cooking nonstop. You know, chronic stress is trauma.
More at imlistening.org. Talk saves lives.
To the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is it caught? Oh my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it! Touchdown, LA!
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it!
Yes!
Touchdown! Joe Burrow and the Bengals!
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught! Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hand off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone, touchdown, Chargers! Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo! Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
It's the NFC version. If you missed the AFC version, we had to break it up. That was last hour as we looked at some of the matchups in week number 3 and some of the major headlines around the quarterbacks because we're obsessed. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. On Wednesday, the NFL declined to do away with a suspension for Mike Evans Instead, he will serve that one-game suspension for the altercation between him and Saints cornerback Marshon Lattimore. Remember, Tom Brady was jawing. He wanted to hit somebody. Lattimore shoved Brady, and Mike Evans came flying in and tackled Lattimore, which escalated the situation. He felt like he was defending his quarterback. And we heard Tom Brady say on Let's Go, his podcast, that he felt like any suspension was ridiculous because Evans was defending him, but the NFL did not see it the same way. So no Mike Evans, no number one wide receiver for the Buccaneers against the Packers this weekend. By the way, the Buccaneers are 2-0, but they have a total of 2 offensive touchdowns in those first 2 games. Tom Brady clearly believes the offense has room to grow, but even when they win, he's never going to be happy with how they played.
I think that I have this expectation of performance for all of us, and I know how good we can do it, and I know the caliber and the quality of player that we have, which allows us to be successful, and we've been that, and I just think there's a very high standard that we've all set, and I think there's a part of us where we all feel like we're capable of making every play, and that's not the reality of football. It's really not the reality of sports. Even in boxing, it was a great boxing match the other day. It's not like Canelo won every single round, you know? In the end, you've got to be very satisfied with the victory. And I think part of that's a challenge. You become an older athlete. You know, the frustration of not being perfect builds up where, you know, normally when you're a younger player, you just feel like winning's good enough. And I think as you get older and you have a degree of success, you think perfection is what it should be. And unfortunately, that's not the reality. And I've talked to you about that in the past about being tormented by that aspect.
So Tom Brady, with a standard of perfection, I would say most athletes do not have that same standard, but that's the reason why he is still playing at 45 and why he has 7 Super Bowl rings. Part of the Let's Go podcast, I actually heard a lot of that from Monday with Jim Gray, and my favorite part was when he said that the tablet he chucked is out of commission and will never be used again. Tom Brady 2, tablets 0. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Sorry. Jameis Winston threw 3 interceptions in the fourth quarter against the Buccaneers last week. And we know in the past he's had an interception problem. So, Jameis, after that loss, how do the Saints turn it around offensively?
By coming together and going to get us a win. I think that's the most important thing. When you win together, everything feels better.
Well, that's for sure. We talk about how winning cures a multitude of sins and really covers over a lot of issues when the W is up there. You are what your record says you are, and New Orleans would like to get a victory in the division against the Carolina Panthers. So the Saints on the road at Charlotte coming up on Sunday. And of course, Baker Mayfield, his new team, they're still looking for their first win. Don't hit the panic button, though. It's only the first month.
Let's not lose our heads. It's 5 points total within 2 games, but that means we're really close. That just means we're not doing our job well enough in the little things to overcome that and to be in a better position. So for us, it's playing each play, and that being the most important one. Really just a singular focus about just doing our job, you know, preparing, knowing the team we're preparing for 100%, but then also this has got to be the best week of preparation when it comes to knowing our game plan throughout the season. So we just have to continue to improve and just overcome our own mistakes.
It's a big deal, right? Because their offense has looked abysmal in the first couple games. Slow starts for sure, but really no rhythm yet. And maybe it's because of when he got traded. Maybe it's the fact that he's not had a chance to get acclimated to the system. I've seen people calling for Matt Rhule to get fired. What else is new after week number 2? But they really haven't looked good in losing those 2 games, despite the fact that he points out they've been close. So here's another opportunity against the Saints in week number 3. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Big, big matchup in the NFC West between the Rams, the Super Bowl champions, and the Cardinals, who were part of one of the craziest comebacks that you'll ever see. Down, 23-7 in the fourth quarter against the Raiders in Vegas, and they rallied to win in overtime on the Byron Murphy fumble recovery for a touchdown. But man, Kyler Murray was all over the field. He was running here, there, everywhere. He's like the Tasmanian devil. You couldn't track him down. The Raiders had no luck at all. What about the Rams? Well, part of the deal is you got to take care of the football, right, Matthew Stafford? So how do you put a bad pass, an incomplete, or an interception behind you when we're talking about a game like this one?
It's always difficult. You know, you don't ever want to turn the ball over. Don't want to hurt the team. That's what it's about. It's not about me. It's not about my stat. It's about what it does to our team. And I want to make sure that I'm doing everything I can possibly to help our team win and not the opposite of that. So it's a fine line to obviously make sure you play the game the way you know how to play the game, but do a great job of taking care of it. And I can do obviously a better job, you know, in the first two.
The Rams have a 1-1 record, as actually every team in the NFC West has a 1-1 record, but I don't feel like they've settled into a great rhythm either. Now, Cooper Kupp has had a couple of really impressive games and had some gaudy stats last week, but also had that turnover, the fumble that put the Rams in jeopardy against the Atlanta Falcons. It took a Jalen Ramsey acrobatic interception on the goal line off of Marcus Mariota with a minute to go to protect that win. So the Rams have seen a bit of a roller coaster ride too. They got clobbered by Buffalo on their own field in the season opener and then had to hang on for dear life against Atlanta. So it's Rams on the road at the Cardinals in the desert. Now, when we last saw the Cardinals at home, they got demolished by the Chiefs in the season opener and people were ready to bury the Cardinals and talk about the money that was paid to Kyler Murray was a complete and total waste. Okay, so maybe tap the brakes after week number one. Kyler Murray actually got into an altercation. Someone hit him when he was there in Las Vegas after that win. And so there'd been kind of an investigation, but he was talking about it on Wednesday.
It was a pretty live game. Vegas is Vegas. I'm sure, you know, he was having fun. But again, I don't know. I mean, I don't think any player should be getting, you know, touched in that manner, but no hard feelings towards the guy. I mean, if I seen him, you know, I'd shake his hand, but it is what it is.
So he's not going to make it an issue, of course, but I would agree with him. No player should ever have a fan or anybody else put their hands on him. Never should have any, regardless of whether or not it's Vegas, should never have to worry about that and the danger. But the video shows that he was celebrating with fans along the wall that separates the field and the field level boxes. And there were plenty of fans who were hugging at him and grabbing him and trying to get a high five, and a hand kind of slapped him across the face. And so then Murray responded and they had words there. So police were investigating a battery complaint that was filed on Sunday evening. But according to Kyler, there are no hard feelings. So Cardinals hosting the Rams in the NFC West, where every team has the same record. That's coming up Sunday, week number three. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of fans, Justin Fields had an eyebrow-raising comment about how the fans can get upset, the fans can be frustrated, but the fans don't put the work in. The fans aren't the ones who are out there on the field. That's what the guys do in the locker room. So really, they don't know what they're talking about.
I should have did a better job explaining what I meant by that. But what I meant by that was I'm talking about work, you know, regarding the game on Sunday, winning the game. You know, I don't know any fans. I don't know what they're doing in their personal lives. And I respect every fan that we have. I'm, you know, glad that we have fans. So, you know, I would never disrespect, you know, anybody on what they do or what they love to do.
You know, he says it hurts more in the locker room than it does with the Bears fans because they aren't putting in the work. I mean, I understand what he's saying, but it's your game two of your second season. Let's not in any way insult the fans. It's just not necessary at this point. Fans have a right to be upset. They have a right to be hurt, regardless of whether or not they're putting in the work, because they are shelling out the money and they are supporting you. The Bears, by the way, are home at Soldier Field again against the Houston Texans coming up on Sunday. Finally, in the NFC East, we've got the 2-0 Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts with one heck of a performance on Monday night, and they will be taking on the Commanders this weekend.
I said this when I was coming out in the draft, that I never put a ceiling on myself, and I've always felt that way. So nothing changes. I just take it day by day. I try and climb every day. I learn from my mistakes and just keep pushing forward. That's the mentality. You know, I've all of these values and principles that I have, it's been pretty consistent. It's because that's who I am.
That game on Monday night in which Jalen Hurts made quick work of the Minnesota Vikings, it was a dominant performance. They were 7 of 13 on third down. They were averaging better than 7 yards per play, nearly 170 yards rushing, and Jalen had plenty of room to work. Remember, he had the long touchdown run just before the end of the half. I mean, it was a dominant performance, but now it's up to Carson Wentz and the Commanders to try to slow their roll.
Exciting. It's an exciting time, obviously.
So exciting.
Division rivalry, you know, been a part of this one for a while. Things look different this year, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun. Obviously, it looks a little bit different over there from when I was there. New faces, new coaches, new everything, but it'll be a fun one.
So that's one of the clashes in the NFC East as Carson Wentz faces his former team for the first time with the Commanders. But did you know Monday Night Football is Cowboys at the Giants? I cannot wait for the Monday Night Manning version of Cowboys and Giants in the NFC East. And I mean, right now there are only 6 undefeateds in the NFL. Neither one of them is playing on Thursday night, but we will have another episode of Amazon Prime, Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime with the Browns hosting the Steelers. That's tonight. We will be back after that game, and we may have some updates on Ime Udoka facing a lengthy suspension with the Celtics. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month.
Looking for stories about the Black community and you don't want to wait until, February? Then check out Beyond Black History Month, the podcast that tells inclusive stories year-round. Like how today's labor movement is connected to the civil rights movement and why Black neighborhoods keep getting hit with water crisis after water crisis.
We're still being charged for water that we can't use.
Listen and subscribe to Beyond Black History Month on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Looking for cloud, data, or web help? There's no tech shortage in the room. The Room is a talent community offering highly skilled, ready-to-work talent when you need it. The Room's tech talent is trained to Silicon Valley standards, vetted through a rigorous data-driven process, and individually matched to fit your needs. Find top-tier tech talent fast, just like the kind of people who developed this cool streaming app you're on right now. Visit trytheroom.com/tech.
Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.